Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here for another week of our Turning Towards Life conversation project podcast. And it is a numerically significant week, at least for those of us who count in tens, because this, Lizzie, is the 200th time that we have sat together to have a conversation like this. And I am so happy that's the case. And welcome to all of you. It's possible that some of you who are with us either live this morning on Facebook or listening to our podcast or watching us on Instagram or on YouTube or on our very, very lovely website, turningtowards.life, it's possible that we know that some of you will have been with us for 200 weeks. And so for you, it's your 200th week too. And some of you may just be stumbling across or maybe have been introduced to this project right now. And whether you're a, I'm sure there's a word for this, a bicentenarian or something, or someone who's coming in brand new, you're all so welcome. And this morning, Lizzie, I'm just feeling the gratitude of having a practice and having a steady practice that is itself reliable, that the whatever we talk about, and we have, I know, some really, really rich conversations that flow each week from a source that one of us has chosen. Also for me, just the reliability of this practice. Here we are again and again and again and again at 9 a.m. and I can really trust it. It's such a welcome gift.
Yeah, me too. Whatever kerfuffle we're in at my end, somehow I always get here. it is very reliable. Some kind of magnetism manages to pull us here, that it's not a kind of, somehow it's not a kind of, oh no, I can't do this one, and you know, might not be able to do that one. I'm not sure how, what, I haven't really reflected on the way our lives must be arranged in order for that to be possible, but it's a really amazing thing that both of us do whatever we need to get here. And it's very supportive and very, it's like a rhythmical thing. Like I can rely on the beat of the weekly gathering of us. It's really beautiful. And this week we have the grand privilege of speaking some words that have come through the lovely Debbie Dannon. And so we're going to read Debbie's poem called Fast Forward to One Another and see what gets born. And I want to say thank you for Debbie having written this, having produced this, having channeled this, whatever feels true to you, Debbie, that how this happened. Because what I so appreciate about Debbie in general, but about this poem too, is just the kind of, like the immediate honesty of it. Like it's a reflection of something right in the moment. And I really appreciate that and feel like it's an amazing place to be on our 200th time together, Justin, to be reading this fast forward poem. Because part of me is like, how on earth did we get to 200 weeks? Like, that's extraordinary. And thank you for always being the person who counts the numbers, Justin. It would never occur to me to put numbers on anything. And yet it's so satisfying to put numbers on things and to know that piece of data is really beautiful. So thank you. Okay, so we're going to read Fast Forward by Debbie Dannon. And we've put a link to her blog on the announcement of this source as well. So if you want to find out more about Debbie, you can go and find her website, which is really beautiful. She's just done it. And it's got beautiful imagery and beautiful offerings from her. And I would really encourage you to go and have a look if you feel called. And there's, I'm sure, more poetry and more writings and more inspiration from her as well that you can find there. So here we go. Fast forward. And as usual, we want to invite you to take a breath. Wherever you are, if you can, you might be driving or walking the dog or doing something a bit more active. But if you can, just find a way to settle the body a little. And open to these words and just stay in contact with your breath as you listen. See if we can let them seep in and affect us. So fast forward. The awkwardness of this silence. Let me fill the space with whatever. Any nonsense is better than this. the sinking shame of a mistake. Let me make all the sorry or back off noises. Move the spotlight from my disgrace. The dread of beginning again. Let me delay just one more day. The nagging need I won't admit. Netflix, eBay, WhatsApp. A prospect dashed by disappointment. I'm fine, I'm fine. Oh God, I wish I was fine. And then there are moments, quiet, still moments, before my itchy finger can hit the button. I realize that fast forward isn't doing what it promised. I'm still here. Doubts still perched on my shoulder, fear churning my gut. 3-year-old me still wailing in my throat. One day, curiosity calls before the dread. I peel off the fast forward sticker from the button. There it is in faded red letters. Abandon yourself. The betrayal is complete. Maybe this time will be different. If I can stay still for a moment longer, I can resist the easy fix. If I can gather up that shaking part of myself and tell her, it's okay, I'm here. Let's feel it all together. Not to abandon, to be my own companion. Maybe this time I can choose.
So I'm going to read it too. And I'm thinking, Lizzie, as I'm reading this, I'm appreciating this practice this we have for 200 times of having the same words come through a different body and a different heart and a different voice, and finding how much just in that, how much there is in this. Fast forward. The awkwardness of this silence. Let me fill the space with whatever, any nonsense is better than this. The sinking shame of a mistake. Let me make all the sorry or back off noises, move the spotlight from my disgrace, the dread of beginning again. Let me delay just one more day. The nagging need I won't admit, Netflix, eBay, WhatsApp. A prospect dashed by disappointment. I'm fine, I'm fine. Oh God, I wish I was fine. And then there are moments, quiet, still moments. Before my itchy finger can hit the button, I realize that fast forward isn't doing what it promised. I'm still here. Doubts still perched on my shoulder. Fear still churning my gut. 3-year-old me still wailing in my throat. One day, curiosity calls before the dread. I peel off the fast forward sticker from the button. There it is in faded red letters. Abandon yourself. The betrayal is complete. Maybe this time will be different. If I can just stay still for a moment longer, I can resist the easy fix. If I can gather up that shaking part of myself, and tell her, it's okay, I'm here. Let's feel it all together. Not to abandon, to be my own companion. Maybe this time I can choose.
Such an extraordinary collection of words that Debbie's given to the world. And it feels to me like so many of us will be able to find ourselves in this poem. And there's so much that I appreciate it about it. And the themes that she's picked out, you know, beginning with the thing about silence and the way that we fill space. And somehow, I think maybe this time of year as well, where there's more light and there is more space in a way, there's, you know, this invitation of filling the space with whatever feels so, so relevant. And I know in myself the kind of the wish to run and avoid and anything but the excruciation of the nothingness. And yet, as Debbie says, it never delivers. So I'm just trying to find the thing where she says, yeah, the fast forward isn't doing what it promised. I feel like that's one of the big kind of griefs of my life in a way. It's like trying to hit the fast forward button, trying to remove myself from the nothingness, and it never delivers. You know, so letting go of all of the patterns of trying to have things be a different way than they are, with all kinds of sophisticated means, realizing it's just not going to deliver, and accepting that has been a huge thing. Like, it, whatever I do, whatever my equivalent of the fast forward thing is, whatever my equivalent of abandoning myself is, it doesn't give the thing it promised by doing it. And so it feels like a real lifelong kind of letting go that's necessary again and again and again, of just realizing that those strategies don't work. My strategies of overdoing or filling up too much or cramming a day of 100 things, all of those things that I can see, it doesn't deliver on anything. And there's a kind of particular kind of grief that is a quite exhausted grief as well, of like, I really thought that was going to do the trick. And here I am again in the disappointment of me not being able to do the thing that was intended by me having done that thing.
I'm feeling so tender, Lizzie, as you're speaking towards that of ourselves which does all of this.
Mm.
And I think I'm feeling particularly alive this morning to there's a certain kind of tenderness in me about this, because I think more and more that the reason this is difficult for us is because it's what we've been taught.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is a given, that this sort of orientation that we have within us, that moving away from what there is now, abandoning ourselves in order to fix the difficult, tender something that's here, it can be fixed, it can be resolved if you just take action, or you just scroll your social media feed, or you just, you know, all the things that Debbie talks about. And of course, there are things in here that I suppose are age-old human experiences, like feeling doubt or feeling afraid. But the fast forward move, I actually think, is something that most of us have been steeped in and have been swimming in from the moment we came into the world, and we didn't even know it. And so that's why Debbie's words are so important, because we live in it's become invisible to us that we live in a culture, this move that Debbie's talking about, where we go, where I have a nagging need I won't admit, but I can solve it by glancing at something, or covering up how I really feel about something, I think is part of what keeps our economic system going and our culture going. And I think about it, I haven't been on the tube, the underground here in London, for a while because of the pandemic, but I remember what it was like to go on the tube and see all the adverts, the boards of adverts, you know, up above all the people traveling. And every one of them, in a way, is an encouragement to the side of this that Debbie is naming as being so full of pain. It will be a buy this app, get this app, click this thing, buy this product, everything will be okay. And the last place that anyone is encouraging us to be is just right here, with whatever is present. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't surprise me, first of all, that it's that for many of us, this is, we've been doing this for years because we were apprenticed into it from when we were very tiny. It's the mood of our times. It's the mood of our culture. it involves a huge amount of self-abandonment. And we didn't get much help in the practices of staying with whatever is here, and not just staying with whatever is here and not bouncing off into some sort of resolution. But as what Debbie says at the end is, staying still, gathering up the shaking parts of ourselves and telling those parts, I'm here, it's okay, we can do this, we can feel this, and we can do this together. We don't have to resolve this or run from this. Or and it's a tragedy that we don't know to do this, and that so much of what's around us has us keep on forgetting to do this. And there's such kindness in Debbie's words, and I think particularly right now I'm feeling very touched by these lines. If I can gather up that shaking part of myself and tell her it's okay, I'm here, let's feel it together. Because I think certainly I sometimes imagine if I didn't keep on going with the part of me that gets triggered into running, then facing whatever I'm feeling would be impossible. I don't have the resource to face it. I don't have, and it will just be hell. And Debbie says to us, hold on, we're way deeper and wider than that. We actually can be with our itchiness, our fear, our shame, our joy, our excitement. It really is possible to be with that in a loving way. It doesn't have to be torture to be with ourselves. And that's an extraordinarily radical thing to say in a culture which is teaching us anything but that.
Yeah, I'm really, there's so much here, isn't there? I'm feeling really sad that our world, so it feels to me like we're radically like social beings. So what's expressed in the world really matters to us. We're looking to belong, we're looking to be part of the world of different things all the time. And so the fact that anything kind of plays on that suddenly feels really sad to me. You know, that we get kind of preyed upon by adverts just that are just there and we can't help it. We're like, oh, what's that? I'd like to be, it's like, it comes from a kind of innocence. And so the way that we kind of look at all of this stuff wide-eyedly and say, oh yeah, okay, I'll have a go at that. It's like we're really open. All of us are really, really open. And so, you know, the fact that you're sitting on the tube and those things are there, how could you, like, as you say, because of the way we've been apprenticed, how could you not take in the calls to action that are perfectly placed in order for us to go, oh yeah, I'm going to do that? It's like we could be using that in a different way. You know, there could be an advert that just says breathe, or there could be an advert that could say, sit still for a moment longer before you press the button on this. And the thing that is moving me in this moment as well is that Debbie says, maybe this time I can choose. It's like it takes such a kind of awareness of what's happening on the inside of us in terms of our responses and our reactions and being aware of things, that often choice isn't available. You know, I know that feeling, like I know I'm powerless to choose right now. I know it really, really well. And so I feel like Debbie's kind of paving the way for a possibility of choice that isn't ordinarily habitually available to us in the way we've been apprenticed. So instead of going, do I really want to do that or not? We've been taught to just go along with the thing. So we've been taught not to question. We've been taught just to say yes all the time. I know certainly the systems I've been in, the educational side of my life, me saying, no, I don't want to do that, it just wasn't an option. The whole system is an affordance for me saying yes and agreeing. And so that links into the needs part as well. You know, the nagging need I won't admit. Well, I won't admit my nagging need because my need has never really had a place to be. So I can feel loads of shame around my needs because socially to have a need is getting in the way of the bigger agenda of we're all going in this direction. For you to stop and go to the loo is really, really, really annoying. because this is the direction we're going in, and everyone needs to comply so we can get there. So I can feel the just the social aspect of this, the kind of training we've been in. And then I wonder why it's so hard to identify what I want for dinner, or whether I want to go for a walk or not, or whatever the thing is in front of me. Because I haven't been apprenticed into a life where what I need is important. And so then, of course, when something comes up that just gets me away from that confrontation, if you like, I'll take that route, thank you very much, because that is not a practiced thing. And it's not something that is in our culture to say, well, let's all just sit down and think about what we need and have a conversation about it. That never, you know, never happened. And it happens now in some ways, but still I find it really hard. And, you know, when you were saying about us having been apprenticed, there's so much undoing to be done. And there's so much relearning and repracticing as well. And then also finding relationships that afford us a new intervention into what we've already been apprenticed into as well. So for you to sit here and say, no, we're not going to do anything until we've both identified what our needs are for this, rather than just let's just get on with this thing because this is what we're doing, is a really different kind of relationship than was in any of the systems that I grew up in. So I'm just feeling appreciative of Debbie's invitation to maybe this time I can choose. You know, and then I feel like I'm being left with this question in this moment of, well, if I was going to be able to choose, what would I have to set up? You know, what practices would I have to have? What kind of conversations would I need? What kind of practices and relationships and groups and community might serve me, which are quite different to the kind of traditional ones that I have known? And it's a really beautiful possibility that Debbie's painting that I can feel really invited into. And just by saying the words, I can feel myself on the tube, like you said, and not being sucked into the posters because of this conversation.
Mm. Something in what you're saying, Lizzie, that's awakening me in the, and it's here in Debbie's words too, the possibility that what we might get to do is to reteach ourselves. I'm going to borrow a line from a different poem, not from Debbie's work, but to reteach ourselves and one another our loveliness. Just to borrow from a poem by Galway Kinnell, that what I was feeling as you were talking is that very often our needs are much simpler than the things that we're pursuing. So often the need simply to be heard or seen, or the need to express love and receive love, or the need to be outside in the sunshine and to have our feet in the grass, or the need simply, to, as Debbie says, to gather up the shaky parts of ourselves and tell them it's okay, I'm here, and to be our own companions. Or I wanted to extend what Debbie said, because I think it's such a wonderful place to launch off from, or simply to have companions, to have companionship from others. Like as you're saying, Lizzie, just someone else who will be here with me in whatever is here. And many of those things are really, really simple. And the difficulty for us is how much we've been trained and have participated in the apprenticeship, the practice of not treating those things as if they were the central things, but keeping on running away from ourselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really with what you're saying, that there's what Debbie's words point us into, I think, is they point us into a moment of choice that's always here. And beyond that, what you said just now invite us into, and how would we practice something? What would it take to practice coming back to, lovingly coming back to our own presence and our own what we're actually feeling and our own what we long for? And what would it take to take steps to have places and people where that's around us, where that's honored, and to do that for other people? And all of that is actually, it starts in this moment that Debbie talks about. The moment that I don't pick up my phone to scroll through the social media feed. But it doesn't end there, because if it ends there, it leaves us alone in a sea of the call to do something, the thing that keeps on calling us to do something different. So can we lay out a path where we don't have to do it on our own? And for me, of course, this series of conversations is one of these. For half an hour, every Sunday morning, we get to sit with one another and respond to whatever's here without trying to run somewhere or make something too shiny, or just to be contactful with ourselves and one another, and also to give other people the opportunity to share in that. So I'm feeling the call, I suppose, in what I'm saying, I'm feeling the radical invitation in Debbie's words, and I'm also feeling the call for each of us to wonder about how do we have this be sustainable and bigger than ourselves, and how can we partner with one another in this? Because that's what it, otherwise all that happens is I get on the tube again and I'm surrounded by 500 adverts calling me away from myself, and my phone buzzing in my pocket and all of that. It's a lot to ask for one person to do on their own.
Yeah, it really is. As you're speaking, Justin, I'm just kind of reminded of those times of, you know, when I review something, like I review a year or I review a week and go, oh, you know, what was that like? At the time, certain things seemed so important. And then you go, well, there's nothing really to kind of show for that. Like it didn't fill me up. It didn't. You know, I suppose it's what I was saying before of realizing that things don't do the thing that they said they would do, which is why I did them. And it just seems like a recurring thing that it's so easy for some period of time to pass and to feel like I don't really know what that was for. So this whole fast forward thing seems so, I don't know, like, what's the word? Like ingrained in life, like the pace everything goes and the kind of getting through the day kind of narrative that's been around for so long, and getting from Monday to Friday or savoring the weekend, you know, that kind of, I can feel that the kind of soup of all of that. And it just seems really sad because I can feel the preciousness of life and how that's not a just response to the gift of life. So I'm feeling a kind of, there's just this bounty on offer of all that life has to give and all the people around us and everything. And then there's so much self-abandonment in it, just because that's what has happened and we are subject to it all. And I love that you said, you know, this feels like what we've been taught by being a person. You know, it takes out all of the kind of the sting and the shame of like, oh god, maybe this is me, I'm just completely mad, you know, maybe I'm just completely off my rocker and I've got particular problems that leave me in this state of self-abandonment and avoidance and wanting this to be over and running from myself. It's so easy to interpret. And I think that's another big cultural narrative, is there something wrong with me that keeps all of this going as well. And somehow the way that you said it, and you know, that being, I can feel the truth of it. I can see all the systems that have made me the way I am. It's kind of somehow allows me to be accountable you know, paradoxically, it's like I can find my agency if it's not as a heavy weight on me that it's all my fault. I can then find some agency around it, because if it's not all my fault, then I can have a bit of choice. Whereas if it is all my fault, then I may as well stay in bed. So I can feel the liberation of being given permission to go, well, a lot has happened that has it turn out this way, but now I can see it and now I can work with it. And I can accept that there's nothing wrong with me. I can feel this choice opening up that Debbie's inviting us into, rather than feeling kind of like I've got like some big piece of lead weighing me down that I can't do anything about anyway because there's something wrong with me. So I'm really appreciating the way that you said that and the kind of opening it is for all of us to step into, well, what if a lot of this is given? What then? And I can take action and I can cultivate relationships and I can take up practices and I can find words and I can follow my needs and wander into what interests me. And being deburdened from the something wrong with me narrative that turns it into all of this is really beautiful. Mm.
And I'm left wondering, Lizzie, to extend what you just said, which seems like it's so powerful, to see that there's nothing wrong with us that we feel this way, and that gives us some agency. My closing thought is, so much of what Debbie talks about that she's working with in this poem comes because other people designed the world in ways that would bring this about. You know, I've been thinking about the people who design Facebook and Instagram and email and WhatsApp and all these things that are built to grab our attention. And I'm thinking about people who design products that we didn't really need and felt would fill a need, and we got them and it didn't fill the need. And so as well as working with this with ourselves, I'm also left with the possibility that we might be, on Debbie's invitation, we might be designers for others. So for example, what if I could be the person for you, Lizzie? And I know this is actually so much of what happens between us already, who can really attend and honor and love you and what you really need and how you really are in this moment. And I don't have to be one of the move away, get going, fast forward, let's fill the silence people. I could design, I could be an active designer of possibilities for you that allow you to be your own companion and not to abandon and to choose. That's also a choice I have. We can be that for one another.
Yeah.
The more we do that for one another, of course, the less we have to do it by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful, Justin. And I love the fact that we always kind of come back to that place of one another. It seems to be the arc of things. And it's so beautiful. And I want to just say to everyone listening, you know, thank you for being with us. And also, we've been receiving our first emails to Lizzie at turningtowards.life and Justin at turningtowards.life, and it's such a delight to hear from you and for us to know you through the words that you would write to us. And so on this note, Justin, of being this for one another, just being in contact with anyone listening, and if you have anything that you would like to say, we're so open to it. And people are sending us poems, aren't they, and, you know, possible sources and all that kind of thing. So if you have anything that you want to send us, please do. And so it's Lizzie at turningtowards.life and Justin at turningtowards.life. And I think this is the point where we're going to end, Justin. And next week we'll be on the beginning of our next 200 episodes. So that's very exciting. And you're so very welcome to be here with us in whatever way that you're listening. And thank you, Debbie, again, for letting us have this poem be part of this conversation. And please go to the source, either on our website or on Instagram or Facebook, to find Debbie's website, because it is a treasure and it's very beautiful. And I know that everyone will probably be very much enjoying Debbie's work through her website as well, if you go and have a look. In the meanwhile, we wish you a wonderful week, and we'll be back here next Sunday at 9 a.m. as usual. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.